Can I move it over a little bit? Thank you. If you'd like, you can turn to Philippians 1. I'm going to be reading two verses there. And before I do, I want to thank all of you for praying and supporting Norm and I while we were in Turkey for 23 years. Amen. Well, not there 23, but working with Turks for 23 years. We were in Turkey actually for 20 years and then came here. We were, as he said, working with Turks. And I have been talking to a couple of the believing Turks and by chat line.
Sorry.
That's okay. By Skype. Who are believers that Norm and I know, and they send their greetings to you. I told them I was going to be speaking tonight and sharing about the ministry there, and they wanted me to give you a greeting, and so I'll say it in Turkish just so you can hear what it sounds like. Merhaba, durlarınız için çok teşekkür ederiz. And that means hello for your prayers. We really, really thank you. That's what the choke means. So that's from them tonight.
Amen.
And before I tell you a lot about the work in Turkey, I would like to go back a ways and tell you a little about how all this started. And I'm going to go way back to when Norm and I got married in 1963. And we knew after we were married, and maybe before that, that we wanted to be missionaries. And so off to Dallas Seminary, we went there for Bible school, and we were working and trying to save money to get into the school that fall. Well, Norm's brother Dale showed up on our doorstep unannounced, and anyhow, he said, "So how's it going?" And we said, "It's going slow, and we're not really sure what we should be doing now, and we don't have enough money to start school." And he said, "Well, why don't you come to Mexico and get some firsthand information about what the mission field looks like, and then that way you can tell how much education you need and just how to prepare yourself." And so we had really no other choice but to do that. It wasn't going the way we had planned, so we went. By faith, we went to Dale down to Mexico. And when we got there, it wasn't long before we knew we had a lot to learn and a lot of preparing to do. And as I told my daughters, we grew up, both of us, real fast. And Nelda took me under her wing and taught me how to cook and how to be a good wife. And a lot of stuff I didn't know about. I was only 19, and yeah, it was rough. And to speak Spanish to all these orphan kids running around, it was crazy, let me tell you. But it worked out. And so we did our, maybe 6 months, I think we were there. And I must tell you, I did join Nelda and some in the ironing with the flat irons and carrying our water from the well to where we were staying, and we had no electricity. It was, like I said, we learned a lot. So about after 6 months or so, we were off to Chicago. And there we were going to go to Bible school. The Lord had provided a way for us to be there. And then we went to Connecticut to do college. Norma did that. And then we did a short time in South America, Columbia, South America, where we perfected our Spanish, which we had gotten just a little bit in Mexico, and attended school in South America, and then we worked there for 3 or 4 years planting churches. And we were working with another brother. And that's where Debbie and Karen learned Spanish, and at the time we had no idea that that was going to come in handy in their lives later on. The Lord had a plan, right? Then when we returned to Connecticut, and we were there for 20 years because, I should say, for health reasons, I'm getting ahead of myself. We were there for 3 or 4 years in Columbia, and then we came back to Connecticut to help with the work that was being started there. And we lived there for 20 years. And after the girls had graduated from high school, Norm just, he was getting, antsy or just like, "I want to get back to the field." And so we did a lot of praying. And he came in one day and said, "I think the Lord wants us to go to to Turkey, and we were in our 50s. And I said, you got to be kidding. You're crazy. There's no way. No one wants us that old. And, well, we applied and sent it. Well, he did say, well, will you pray about it? So what can I say? So I prayed about it. And so I said, go ahead, send the application, but I guarantee you they're not going to accept us. Well, guess what? Within a week's time, they accepted us. And then we were on our way to preparing for the time in Turkey. Let me read in Philippians. The first verse I want to read is, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And that's how I feel, and that's how the Turks feel about you guys. Many of you have prayed for them, and many have come to know the Lord because of your prayers. And then verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's, even though we're not there, it's still going on. And many people are saying Muslims cannot accept Christ. They can't be saved. But I'm here to tell you tonight, they can. God loves them and wants them to be saved too. I want to just tell you a few things about Muslims that I've learned, and you probably have heard it too. Not all Muslims are terrorists. Most of them just live like you and me, working hard every day, putting their kids through school, and want a peaceful life. And most of them haven't even read the Quran. Our experience with them has, we've asked them questions, and they don't know certain things, and so we have learned that they had not really know what their Quran says. They just accept what the imam tells them in the mosque. A lot of them believe that what they see on TV about Americans is true. They ask me, the women especially, do you guys live in houses and dress and drink and do all these things they do on Dallas and Dynasty? Remember those things? I said, no way. I said, that's all a fantasy, basically. Yeah. And so they were blown away by that. But they believe this. They are greatly, and I mean greatly, influenced by traditions and superstitions. It's a shame culture, and they're controlled by fear. From a child, a boy is taken, when he can just barely walk, to the mosque and sits by his dad on the floor and kneels and gets up and gets down and learns how to be a Muslim. And he is taught things by the imam, that's their priest, I guess you would say, or their preacher. And, excuse me, I'm just a little nervous here. They are the firstborn son, I should say, is required to learn or memorize the whole Quran, which is about the size of the New Testament. And the girls, it's a little bit different. They stay at home and they're taught by their mothers. And they're learning what their mothers taught them and so forth. They're learning how to raise their children and how to cook and clean and keep the family happy and to keep their husbands happy and to be obedient. And I mean obedient. Sometimes they don't even get through the sixth grade, girls, little girls. If they're raised in the city and have money, the parents will send them to school to get a better education. And some of them will grow up to be doctors and teachers and work among the men. But usually the poor do not have any more than sixth grade education. A little bit about how God has worked in Turkey. In 1960, now we were in Bible school in 1963, but in 1960 we learned that one missionary was in Turkey at that time and only 10 non-believers. In 1994, when Norm and I went, more missionaries, of course, were allowed into the country. Of course, they couldn't come as missionaries. They had to have an occupation, a tent-making job. 2,500 non-believers were now in that country. Today, there are 5,000 believers in Turkey and 136 known churches. And most of them are in homes. And some of them are in building, in a storefront. I think like in Poland, they have apartments where people live above, and down below is the storefront where they get permission to have their meetings. And so far, this has been working. There has been some persecutions for some of these churches, but they're pressing on. I want to tell you about the... We were there, like I said, 10 years, and only three of our friends that we knew came to the Lord. And the first one was Sardar. And I think you remember Sardar. He came to see us, and he wanted to be a cowboy and to dress like, and he's a believer, but he wanted to be like Norm and just get the boots and the hats and all that. And I remember Linda giving him a cowboy hat. He was really, really cute. But I want to tell you how he came to know the Lord. And the world would say it was an accident, but it was a divine appointment, I think. Sardar was sitting in a shop, and the kids were running around and saying, "There's a man next door who can speak English. He's an American. Why don't you go over, Sardar, and practice your English on him?" And so Sardar and Norm got together, and they were talking, and Norman just somehow in his conversation, if you know Norm, you know it's going to come up. He mentioned the Lord. He didn't say God or Allah or anything like that. He said Tanra, which is, I take it back, Rab, which is Lord. And Norm told me his eyes got really huge. And then Norm just kept talking to him and handed him a tract. And he said, "Read this tract and go home. And if you have any questions, call me back and I'll come see you and we'll talk about it," and so forth. Well, he said, "No, I'm gonna read it right now." So he sat there and read it with Norm, and he said, "Can my wife and I come see you next week?" And so when they came to our house, and Norm talked to them again, and we showed them the Jesus film in Turkish, and within a month's time, he came to know the Lord.
Amen.
So that was very exciting. And please pray for him. His wife and kids are not saved, but I tell you, this man loves the Lord, and in their house, there is no Quran. There's only Bibles. Amen. And he teaches his children the Word of God.
Amen.
In spite of persecution, Sardar has pressed on and is walking with the Lord and serving there in one of the small churches. And I want to tell you something that makes me almost cry every time he says that. I talk to him about once a month on the phone. He says, "I thank God every day that Norm and you came to give us the gospel."
Amen.
I'm sorry. In 2004, that's when we had to return for health reasons. I had come down with a condition that I had to be home. And we went to Houston, where there were 5,000-6,000 Turks there, and no one was reaching them. And so the first thing we had to do was get a house, and so we looked up on the internet, which is great, for a Turkish realtor, and her name is Elchin, and she helped us find a house. And again, the first day we got together with her looking at the houses, we were sharing the Lord with her, and we gave her a Bible, and she many times would say, "I don't want to talk about that." But as you know, when you look for a house, you're with your realtor a lot. So we got to spend a lot of time with her. And so finally, after a year's time, she came to church with us on Easter Sunday. And she walked the aisle and got saved. So that was I think the Lord gave us that right when we came to Houston, because we needed that. You know, we needed that encouragement to keep pressing on. But as time went on and many attempts to reach Turks there in Houston, it just got more difficult. And then Norm was also having some issues with his back. And I think some of you remember how he couldn't sit very much. He had to stand, and he had two back surgeries. And we just were again discouraged. But God, I love that in the Bible when all those verses that say, "But God."
Amen.
And then he solves whatever the problem was, or he has an idea. Well, that's what happened to us. But God had another plan, and it was the internet. Can you believe it? The internet. A chat line was being established in Istanbul, Turkey, where they had operators who were available for this chat line that was called the Holy Bible, which is Kutsal Kitap in Turkish. And so the director called Norm and knew we were in Houston and knew Norman still had his Turkish really well. He was keeping up. And then he said, how would you like to be an operator? And you know what Norman said. He jumped at it. And so young people were calling in or typing or chatting in with Norman saying, asking questions about what's the difference between Christianity and Islam? What is the difference between the Bible and the Quran? And Norman would tell them. Those were the most popular questions. There were other things that they wanted to talk about. And then they would say another popular question was, have you read the Quran, Norm? And he said, oh, yes, many times. And, of course, when we were in Bible, in preparation for going to Turkey, we had to do that in candidate school. So I even read it, which was horrible. But anyhow, there's no rhyme or reason to it. But so Norm said yes. And so they would say, oh, what did you think of our great book? And Norm would pause for a minute and he'd say, there's no hope there. And he would go on and say, but I know where there is hope. And Amen. He would talk about the Bible. Amen. And Jesus Christ, that's where Amen. Your hope is, right. is going to be found. And so over this period of time of 10 years here in the States, Norm got, those 3 years that he was with the chat line, I'm sorry, he had 100 contacts that he would write to. Not every day, he would space it out, but that how many names. He had a chart on the wall with their names and where they lived, and they would ask questions, well, how can I get into a church? Who can I need someone to talk to? And Norm was able to give them a pastor to contact. He was able to get them in touch with other believers. Amen. That, again, was another shot in the arm that we needed at that time. Yeah. And then, like I said, we even had a chance to send some Bibles to, because that chat line was all over the world. We had people calling in from Belgium, Turks who had moved there to get a better life and a better job. They wanted a Bible, so we sent it to them. A Turkish Bible in their language. And so they were so excited about that. One more person I want to tell you about, and that's, well, maybe I should mention this first. Every summer in May, Norm, after he established the chat line, was on the chat line, he went back to Turkey in the summer to meet some of his contacts and even to baptize a couple of them. So that was a real thrill for him. But one young man typed in the internet website, and of course there were 5 or 6 different operators on duty that day, but guess who owes, this is the guy I'm going to talk about, guess who owes God? He got Norm. And so that was a real answer to prayer, and this guy had been saved, but he didn't know what to do next. He didn't know where to go, who to talk to, and so Norm again was able to get him in touch with some people, and then he wanted to get baptized, but he couldn't do that before he was 18. It would be against the law, especially with Norm. If he went over there and baptized him, Norm would be kicked out and never be able to go back again. So Norm had to say, you're going to have to wait, get established in a church, and then when you turn 18, I'm going to come over and I'll baptize you. Well, that was going to be May of 2013, and that was the year that we found out that Norm had cancer, and he passed away before he could go there and baptize him. But another pastor stepped in, baptized him, and he's going on for the Lord. And I just want to tell you that that's a wonderful blessing. And not only that, the reason why I read that verse about what God has begun, you know, the work he's begun, he's going to finish, it reminded me of Oz, who is talking to young people who have come to know that point of making that step for Christ, that they're afraid. And Oz has been trying to help them. And he, in the last 2 or 3 months, he's been able to help 2 brothers, or young men, step over the line and accept Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. The last thing I wanted just to reveal to or tell you about is the other fruit that's going on in Turkey. In the in all those years from 1960 to now, there's been a Christian radio station established in Ankara. Youth camps are in the summertime. The kids have to get permission from their parents to go, but they're allowed to go. The Bible was translated into a better language like you guys do in Poland, because they had the old Ottoman type language that you couldn't even understand. But anyhow, that was completed in 2001, and they also had campaigns to get the Bible out to different people, to the city of Ankara and other places. And Norman's chat line was taken over by another worker there in Ankara. And what's going on now with ISIS has opened the door for people. When they are approached by Christians, they listen, they want to hear, they're afraid. And so this has opened the door for the gospel to come.
Amen.
So I end with this. It is possible for Muslims to be saved.
Amen. Amen. Amen.